This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. When kings and queens from foreign lands visit our country, they typically travel by private jet or limousine. When foreign dignitaries traveled in earlier years, they often voyaged in resplendent chariots or by carriage. However, one king, the King of the Jews, entered Jerusalem in a much more humble fashion on a donkey. Stay with us today as we talk about what that single event means in our lives today.
We begin this service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Palm Sunday, Jesus announces that he is king without speaking a word. So what does that mean for my life? Stay with us and find out. Our reading for today is from Matthew chapter 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds are saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Here ends the reading. The stage is set. The curtain goes up, and the last act of the drama begins as Jesus rides a donkey down the hill from the mount into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus has spent 3 years preparing for this day and the days that follow. He's been doing miracles and preaching about the kingdom of God, telling his disciples about what's going to happen to him, confronting opponents as well as those that were rejecting him. And now his time has arrived, the time for which he was born. Some Bible scholars estimate that there could have been over 2 million people crowding into Jerusalem that day. Pilgrims from all over the world would come each year for that week to worship at the temple and celebrate and remember the Passover when God set his people free from slavery in Egypt using his servant Moses. Now, as Jesus approaches the city, suddenly, it suddenly becomes a parade that's all about him. Shouts in the background and cheering begin to happen. Clapping, people begin cutting branches from trees in their excitement, waving them around and even throwing them on the road before him. Others threw their coats on the ground for him to ride over as if he's some sort of royalty. Cries begin, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna to the Son of David!" David? David was Israel's greatest king, wasn't he? So where did this kind of thing come from? It came from Jesus. You see, he staged the whole thing. Jesus knew his Old Testament quite well. And in the book of Zechariah, the prophet's writing a great day, describing what would soon come to the people of Israel to make their lives better. God would rescue them. He wrote, "Behold, O daughter of Zion, look and see, your king is coming to you on a colt, the foal of a donkey, and he's going to do great things." The people of Israel knew this prophecy as well as Jesus. They longed for its fulfillment when they would be restored as a great, independent nation once again, free of all the oppressors like those Romans. And so naturally they got excited. Our king has come. With all this king talk, we're reminded of the wise men looking for Jesus at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, calling him the king of the Jews, that they had seen a star from the east. Echoes of God's words to Jesus at his baptism also come to mind, don't they? When God said, as Jesus emerged from the waters of the Jordan, "You are my son, with you I am well pleased." These words are from Psalm 2. "You are my son," used for the coronation and anointing of the kings of Israel. Now Jesus is claiming that title for the first time without saying a word. He reenacts his message for everyone to see. "Your king has arrived," as he rode into town on that donkey. Now, whether it is the first century or the 21st century, Jesus wants us to get that message and to respond to it. Your king has come. A person these days might wonder, so why should I care about that? What's the big deal? We might consider kings of old and some of the awful things they did when they came into power. Do we really want something like that? Or some today might just think of the kings simply as figureheads in our world that really make little difference, such as Prince Harry or Prince George or Queen Elizabeth or the king in Norway. It's interesting to follow them in magazines and newspapers, but they really don't have much to say to my life to make it any better. So why should I care? If Jesus is king, what difference does that make? Maybe we need to take a closer look at this king named Jesus. Now, the first thing you have to notice about him as king is he's really different from any other. For instance, when kings arrive in countries, they typically come in the old days in a magnificent chariot or carriage, or these days in limousines and huge private jets. This king today arrives humbly on the back of a donkey. You have to admit, that's a little different. And while other kings live in prosperity and luxury in their castles and palaces and their Downton Abbey type living, this king says he doesn't even have a place to lay his head. While most kings come to rule in power and take from the people, this king stated, "I have not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many." This king came to give, not take. By Friday, there's going to be another parade, and this same king is going to be in it. This time he walks. He's carrying a cross to a hill called Golgotha. And on that hill awaits a throne for him. It's a cross to which he will be nailed. A bloody, cruel throne, wouldn't you say? He will have a crown placed upon his head, not of gold or silver, but of thorns. And instead of anointing oil running down his face and body, it will be blood. At his hour of death, he will not hear weeping, but mockery and jeering from a crowd that wants him dead. Why did this king do this? At his cross, this King Jesus was taking your punishment for your sinfulness upon himself. It was the plan. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have gone their own ways. And our God is holy and cannot tolerate our sin. The relationship's broken, and so he gave us a king who lived the perfect life of obedience to pay for your sin on a cross so that you and I might be cleansed and forgiven and restored to our Father in heaven. You see, this king didn't come to set up a human political system, to take over a government, but to take over human hearts. He didn't come to do battle with an opposing army. He came to do battle with the power of sin and death, the power of the devil, in order to set captive souls free and to give eternal life to the likes of you and me. Amazing. Something else about this king. He's very passionate about what he's doing, and he's passionate about people like you and me. We see that at the end of this Palm Sunday ride into Jerusalem. He goes immediately to the temple, and he raises a ruckus and upsets everything and everyone, upturning tables and driving out money exchangers from the temple. He's so upset by all of this. Well, let me tell you why. They're keeping people away from having a prayerful, personal relationship with God. Jesus is passionate about people's souls. He wants nothing to get in the way of men and women and boys and girls having a personal relationship with their Heavenly Father who loves them. He's different. He's passionate. Why should I care about this king's arrival? Well, finally, because this king is a power to be reckoned with. He's powerful. On Easter Sunday, God took this dead king and raised him back to life. As Pastor S.M. Lockridge says in his message, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. God has put his stamp of approval on Jesus through the resurrection. And has announced, this is my son. Everything he has said, believe it, follow, and you will have eternal life. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, we say in our Apostles' Creed, in all power, gathering his chosen ones to himself from every nation. He's putting all his enemies under his feet. He's upholding the cosmos and everything in it by his mighty power. And he is advancing his rule on earth as it is in heaven. And one day this king will appear again in power and majesty and judgment over all the earth. And you and I had better be ready for him. The risen king told us that. It's a fact. So there you have it. Your king has arrived. He's quite a king, isn't he? There have been a variety of responses to him over the years, just as there were on that first Sunday. That day there was rejection. The religious authorities were outraged and began a plot to get rid of him. Others looked askance and said, oh, it's a prophet. Well, we've seen them come and go. And we're not so crazy about what prophets have to say to us anyway. They tend to want to shake up the status quo. Others get excited over him that day, but by Good Friday, the enthusiasm and loyalty is gone. Sad. But he's not communicating to them today. This king is trying to talk to you. What are you going to do with him, this King Jesus? He actually wants you to become his subject, to have you bend your knee to him and respond to him with trust and obedience the rest of your life. I'm a Lutheran, and I had to memorize the Small Catechism as a junior high student, written by Martin Luther. And I remember that second article where Martin Luther is talking about Jesus. And he writes, "At great cost, he has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin and death and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he has done, why? That I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from death and lives and rules eternally." Dear friend, anyone who does not bow the knee to this king now will bow to him one day. That's certain. But then it will be too late to know the benefits of Christ's saving rule. Our King has arrived. And as we enter this Holy Week, it's a good thing for us to not only remind ourselves of Jesus as King, but to examine ourselves and where we stand in relationship with this King. He took that ride on Sunday so that I might come to trust him with my life. Do you? Do you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? That's what Jesus came to give you, that kind of assurance and confidence. He promises. He rode into that town so that he might take over my life and have his way with me, control me, that his word might direct my actions and my thoughts and the things I say, that he would be my authority and my worldview as I look at life. He rode into town that day so that I might serve him, be a witness to others about how wonderful he is and how there is life in no other, that I might serve others as my servant King has served me, that his serving attitude might be reflected in my relationship with others, that I might take his gentle yoke upon me and really believe and do what he says, trusting that he knows what makes life work. I don't know who's listening today, but I do know this: your King has arrived. He died for you. He rose for you. He lives to rule in you and walk with you. I appeal to you this day. Don't just sing the words about him being a king. Let us bend the knee and trust and worship and obey him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. For he is the life giver, the King who gives life. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to bend your knee in trust to worship and obey our King with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Currently, Christian Crusaders is heard on 27 radio stations across the United States, as well as on shortwave across North America and Europe. We encourage all those who are listening to our program to drop us a line, letting us know in which part of the world you're able to hear us. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choice and all others who have need to listen. We thank all who support this ministry with their prayers and their gifts. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 77th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.